Hare Krishna. I want to welcome all of you to this Jamashtami lecture. I have chosen a verse from the 10th canto, a beautiful verse which describes why Krishna appears. I'm taking the text from the Chaitanya Charitamrita because here it has a explanation by Srila Prabhupada. We are just preparing the whole orchestra still here. One moment. But we can sing already Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihani
Jayana Madhava Kunya Vihani
Jayana Madhava Kunya Vihani Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadadi
Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadadi
Gopidana Vallava Girivara Dadi
Gopiyaja Vallabha Girivara Dadi
Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana
Yasoda Nandana Rajajana
Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana
Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari
Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari
Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada
Jaya Prabhupada 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 Chila Prabhupada
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sita
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha
Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paravara Jakacharya Ashtata Satasi Simat Hissi Vaingre Sila Ave Charanaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Is confounded Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Si Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusham Deyamashritah Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashudva Tatparo Bhave Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusham Deyamashritah Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Jashrutva Tatparo Bhavet Nanugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusham Deyamashritah Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashrutva Tatparo Bhavet. Yes, please.
Vajate
Matajis, please. Anugrahaya, for showing favor, bhaktanam, to the devotees, manusham, human-like, deham, body, ashritaha, accepting, bhajate, he enjoys tadrishihi such kridaha pastimes yaha which shrutva having heard tatparaha fully intent on him bhavet one must become. So, my dear devotees, this is a text from the 10th canto. It describes the particular reason why Krishna chooses to appear. Today is Jamashtami, Lord Krishna's divine appearance day, and it is very good for us devotees to understand why in particular did the Lord chose to come to this world of birth and death. What is in his mind? Why does he consider to come here? Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes only to show mercy to the devotees. If someone has heard about such pastimes of Krishna, he should engage in service to him. So Krishna comes to this world to display in a human-like form very attractive pastimes which pull the lost conditioned souls to him. They attract the Lord. So he does something so that we say, wow, he is so wonderful, let me become his devotee. Purport. The text, this text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto 33, chapter, text 36. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable expansions of his transcendental form, who eternally exist in the spiritual world. This material world is only a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, where everything is manifested without inebriety. Can someone who's speaking good English tell us what is inebriety?
Intoxication.
So this material, what? Yeah. Okay. This material world is only a perverted reflection of the spiritual world where everything is manifested without inebriety. you know, illusions and stupor and dullness and all this. There everything is in its original existence, free from the domination of time. Time cannot deteriorate or interfere with the conditions in the spiritual world, where different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the recipients of the worship of different living entities in their constitutional spiritual positions. In the spiritual world, all existence is unadulterated, that means unmixed goodness. The goodness found in the material world is contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Mm-hmm. I was thinking a little bit about this morning when we were doing Guru Puja, and I looked around and I could see that there was the influence of time. Those who were young and now have graying hair, some of the devotees look quite ill, and they have increased their belly size in amazing ways. I was just thinking, this is the influence of time which works upon all of us. And I was going into the future, maybe 50 years from here, and I saw in my inner eyes only a few of us still dancing, mostly the young children and so on. But the others, yes, in 50, 60 years, 70 years, wow, they have all left the body. And they will not be with us. Maybe they will be in different life forms. Maybe some of the great souls amongst us will have gone back to Godhead. But there is the influence of time very, very strongly. And here Prabhupada says, in the material world this influence is there, but not in the spiritual world. He goes on in his purpose. He says, the saying that the human form of life is the best position for devotional service has its specific significance, because only in this form can a living entity revive his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The human form is considered the highest state in the cycle of this species of life in the material world. If one takes advantage of this highest kind of material form, one can regain his position of devotional service to the Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada talks about different incarnations of the Lord who come to us, although it's inconceivable to the human brain how they come, and show different pastimes. You know, like the verse says, these pastimes are meant to attract the souls of this world. It's a very amazing part of the purport. And then something comes which is even more amazing. Well, but let us patiently hear. Incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in all the species of life, although this is inconceivable to the human brain. There are incarnations who appear amongst the fish and the wild boars and everything. The Lord's pastimes are differentiated according to the appreciating capacity of the different types of bodies of the living entities. the Supreme Lord bestows the most merciful benediction upon human society when he appears in his human form. It is then that humanity gets the opportunity to engage in different kinds of eternal service to the Lord. Now comes something which has deep significance to us. See, Krishna comes in different forms to all living entities, but when he comes in the human-like form, he gives the greatest benedictions to the living entities. And now listen to this amazing sentence. Some of you will faint when you hear it. Special national appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of the living entity. Like when you feel attracted, for instance, to Yashoda Krishna's pastimes, where Yashoda runs after Krishna and chastises him. You thief, you little monkey, why did you steal my butter? And Krishna yells back, I didn't do it, the other monkeys did it. Yashoda's. And now, someone who likes this more than the pastime where Krishna, for instance, kills specific demons, it shows that their constitutional position. Would you like to hear this again? Because it's a quite new point for us. Special natural appreciation of the description of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. Adoration, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are the five primary relationships with Krishna. The highest perfectional stage of the conjugal relationship, enriched by many sentiments, gives the maximum relishable mellows to the devotee. Though the purport continues, this verse is quoted by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami when he discusses the reasons for an appearance of the Lord. He uses this verse to say that we should hear these pastimes, we should allow ourselves to be attracted, and then we must engage in the service of such a beautiful Lord. Here it says, in this verse, the verb bhavet is used, which is in the imperative mood, must be done. Imperative mood means it must be done. It tells us that this certainly must be done. If you don't do it, you don't do your duty. You give up your duty. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Zatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shri Go Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about him to become dedicated to him. This is another translation Prabhupada gave. So, my dear devotees, Krishna's wonderful appearance in this world is done in a very attractive way so that we cure our greatest problem, that is our rebellion against the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these pastimes act like a powerful medicine which is made of jewels and mantras. It cures our aversion, our turning away from Krishna, because they are just so wonderful that we like to hear about them and we become attracted. I have a doctor who wants to give me a treatment whereby which I can become 150 years old. It's an Ayurvedic treatment. The medicine is quite expensive. I heard this with jewels, gold, and he has like 50 brahmanas chanting mantras over it. I still hesitate. I don't know if I want to become so old. But there are such cures. I would like to give you the Ayurvedic term because maybe some of you are interested in it. Kal, something with kal. What? Kaya kalpa. Thank you. They totally renew the body. So such a kaya kalpa medicine, in a spiritual sense, is described here. It's the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which are having the potency to attract you so that you will leave the material world and join Krishna in a transcendent body, which is eternal, not just 120 years old, and be with him. When Krishna appeared, he appeared first of all in his four-handed form, equipped with Sudarshan chakra, a club, lotus flower, and conch shell. And Vasudev, his father, who was imprisoned, saw his son, you know, which boy or girl comes with these features. We sometimes joke about Ananta Gauranga that maybe he took birth with a small mridanga, and when he came out of the glorious womb of his mother, he played an ektal beat. but that is only a joke. Normally, I don't think he came like this. He must have screamed like a hungry boy when he came out. But Krishna came and bedecked with jewels and ornaments and the insignia of the Lord. So Vasudev began to pray. But then Devaki said to him, "My dear husband, don't delay. soon Kamsa will come and he will kill our child like he has done with all the children before. At that moment, Narayan said, the Lord said to his mother, "Don't worry, mother, I have my chakra. My chakra is there. No danger, no danger. There is still enough time for Vasudev to end his prayers and for you to start your prayers. And then I will become a baby. And then you have to maybe, then you have to hide me. But now, no worries. Pray." So when the prayers were finished, Vasudev thought, "I must save my boy. I can't deliver him to Kamsa, who will kill him." The Lord had by then changed from this ornamented Narayan form into a little Shishu. Shishu is a little boy, just very sweet he looked. Hare Krishna Babaji, I can give you a flower. When you become tired, I give you a rose flower. Then you smell it, and then all the tiredness will go. Yes, I know these things. Because, yes. Tiredness is also there when we chant and dance for so many days. I think 3 days we did this now. So, the Lord looked at Vasudev and he was a little baby, and Vasudev thought, "This little baby is just so sweet. I must bring him to safety." So he took his hands, which were by then shackled in iron chains, and he brought his hands forward to touch Krishna. The moment he touched Krishna, all the iron chains fell from his hands. The doors, which were tightly shut, opened, and the guards who were standing there, guarding the prison house in which the Lord appeared, all fell totally asleep. Which shows you that when you touch Krishna, all the obstacles go. Shackles fall, doors open, guards, the Kamsa's police is no longer awake. All the problems disappear. And Vasudev took his little boy. He couldn't believe he was a free man all of a sudden when he held Krishna. And he went out of the prison. He went to the Jamuna. It was a storm at that time. But when he needed to cross the Jamuna, the waves calmed down and they parted and made a way for him so that he could walk through the Jamuna and bring Krishna to Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda had given birth to two children. One child was Yogamaya, and Vasudev exchanged his little boy with Yogamaya. He went into the maternity room. He saw Yashoda was fast asleep, and he thought, I have to do this now. I have to exchange your little baby girl with my baby boy because I love my boy so much. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, mother. Yashoda, good that you are asleep. You won't even notice that you had a baby girl. You will think the baby boy was your own child. And he brought her back. Now this Yogamaya is also Maya, and turned to Maya. And when the Vasudev, who now touched Maya, came back to the prison. All the doors closed. The guards woke up and the shackles closed. This means for us, if you touch Krishna, you are a free man. If you touch Maya, you are a bound man. Very clearly, it is shown by Krishna's Leela. It is very attractive. We can immediately understand. And this is what the Lord does to show mercy to us. He does these pastimes, which are just extraordinary, so that we get something out of this and get attracted to His wonders, His miracles, His nature. And we feel, oh, what am I doing in this material world? It's boring. Let me qualify for my eternal spiritual life and join the Lord in the spiritual world. He wants to convince us. And He does it by action, good pastimes. That's the reason why He appears. In the Gita, two other reasons are given. Side reasons. He also annihilates the demoniac and he establishes the principles of Dharma by doing the Dharma Yudha, the battle of Kurukshetra, which was a fight between Dharma and Adharma. And he establishes the principles of religion by speaking books like Bhagavad Gita. But his main concern is for good people like you. He wants to attract them to his eternal kingdom. And this is what is in his mind. Now this brings me to my main subject, this Jamashtami. As you can imagine, when you are asked to give a lecture on Jamashtami, you really think for half a year, what will you talk about at such a sacred occasion? What will you say to the devotees who are all vibrant with spiritual life and who want to know more how they can go on in their lives? I would like to establish a point today. From this verse, which is one of the main verses which explains Krishna's purpose of coming here, we quickly understand he wants to enter a relationship with us. He wants to attract us. He wants that we come back to him. That is what he thinks of. Now this point of entering into a relationship with Krishna is maybe the central point in our spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. If we do everything else in Krishna consciousness, but forget about this essential point, we might miss the point even after many years of devoted practice. The point is sambandha, entering a relationship. And I want to read you something from this very nice book, Sri Hari Nam Chintamani, which describes how you can enter into a relationship with Krishna by chanting the holy name. The book speaks about the necessity of taking shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Why do you do this? To get a new name or to be in a ceremony with last 5 minutes and then you have a sense of belonging to a movement? No. Cultural conversion is not the point of Krishna consciousness. You do this to attain from the Guru Pratame Sambandha Jnana. I will read to you the verse. Please allow me to take my orchestra here. It's easier to listen when there is something, some sound. With the help of faith in the feet of his bona fide spiritual master, the soul attains knowledge of his relationship with Lord Krishna. And what this means is that this knowledge is expressed in the next verse. Lord Krishna is the eternal master. The souls are his eternal servants. Please repeat. Lord Krishna is the eternal master.
Lord Krishna is
the
eternal master.
The souls are his eternal servants. Love for Lord Krishna is eternal.
Love for Lord Krishna is eternal.
Yeah, yeah. This means sambandha gyan. You understand? Wow, Krishna is my Lord and Master. I am the servant. And this love for Krishna, that is what matters. It will stay even if everything is gone. In this way, by understanding this, the true nature of the soul is manifest. When some souls forget that they are Lord Krishna's eternal servants and therefore begin to seek happiness away from Lord Krishna, then they are thrown into the world of Maya. Maya's world is a prison house for these souls. A prison house where punishment is given to correct the criminal souls who have rebelled against Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, I have to say it. Please do not find fault in me. This is from Haridas Thakur. We are criminals, Hare Krishna. We are japa criminals, we are kirtan criminals, we are... Shankaracharya says, my birth is sinful, my life is sinful, my soul is sinful. Strong words of Shankaracharya. Yes. Papa. No, yes, papis. So, by understanding, you know, the philosophy, I am a servant of Krishna. I don't want to be a rebel any longer. I want to go. Then the foundation is laid for your spiritual life. The moment you lose this, you walk in a vacuum. But the moment you remember, while you chant, wow, I am a servant of Krishna. The moment you remember, while you cleanse the temple, I am a servant of Krishna. I serve Krishna with this. The moment you remember, even while driving a bicycle to go to the temple, I am visiting the temple as Krishna's servant by driving my bicycle here. Then you are... In the substance of spiritual life. But when this point is lost, you move in a vacuum. I want to tell today a very nice pastime which has often intrigued me. Some of you might have heard it, but by talking about it again on Jamashtami, I hope that this point is nicely illustrated of sambandha. It is about a great devotee, Vallabha, who had a disciple called Damala. Vallabha lived in Gokula, the town Gokula. Who of you have visited the town of Gokula? Have you noticed these beautiful temples there which really stand out? The Braj area, Gokula, is very opulent temples. They were built by disciples of Vallabha. A very nice place to go. Really very, very first-class service. They are all dressed. The pujaris are dressed. You have never seen people dressing like that. It's really amazing. I had a friend who lived in Gokula, but he died, but he showed me Gokula. So one day, this Vallabha goes down to the banks of the Yamuna. The Yamuna waters, do you know what color they have? Yes. Deep, deep blue. It looks really blackish. So Vallabhacharya sat down and he asked the people, I want to know where is the bathing place of Govinda and where is the bathing place of Radharani here? But the people said, that was long ago when the divine couple appeared. We don't know where is their bathing place. So because he was a great devotee, all of a sudden he saw that the waters of the Yamuna parted. And he saw a divine goddess rising out of the waters. We will see this divine goddess this evening. If everything works out, we are preparing a surprise for all of you. It was Yamuna Devi herself. And Yamuna Devi said, you are a very great soul. You are a guru who unites souls who are separate from Krishna with Krishna. And I will show you. This is Govinda Ghat and this is Thakurani or Radharani's Ghat. So Vallabhacharya, Vallabha felt very happy. Then Yamuna disappeared and he was thinking about what Yamuna had said to him. She had said, you bring the separated souls again to Krishna. And he was thinking about this and thinking, how can I bring souls who are separated from Krishna back to Krishna? This is maybe the main worry which great souls have. Souls like Srila Prabhupada, how can I bring the fallen souls to Krishna? And they become very creative out of the need to bring souls to Krishna, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He put the pastimes of Krishna in a modeled form, you know, like we call them dioramas, puppets, and placed a whole exhibition on one steamship, which was there in Calcutta on the piers, and all the simple people who had never been on a British steamship thought, let's go on the steamship. They only thought, and then we will see the exhibition, but the main idea was steamship, you know, like the Indians are. So the great souls make even sometimes tricks to bring us forgetful souls to Krishna. Vallabha was thinking about how can I do this? And by that time, some cowherd girls came. And like they do in Vrindavan, the girls always sing songs. And they sang, the crown of Lord Krishna swings as he walks. And Vallabha thought, how will I bring this concept to the fallen souls? They will fall asleep if they hear about the crown of Lord Krishna, which will swing, because they are so totally unfortunate. How will I do this? by the time the moon was rising, there were patches of cloud and the moon just shone through, and the Vallabha became so totally disturbed in his mind, because he thought, how can I bring people who are so impure together with Krishna? Like Prabhupada often said, Krishna is like a fire, and if you want to enter the fire, you need to become fire yourself. So how can I do this? How can I bring souls to join up with Krishna, to develop their relationship with Krishna? So as he was thinking like this, suddenly a flood of light illuminated the night. And the beautiful form of Krishna was visible. We want to sing a song to Lord Krishna who appeared, which Vallabhacharya composed at that moment. The song says, his lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet, his heart is sweet, his step is sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of Sweetness. It continues, his voice is sweet, his character is sweet, his dress is sweet, his movements are sweet. And it talks about everything. The way he saves souls is sweet. The way he steals sweets is sweet. His yawning is sweet. And even his punishment are sweet. His embrace is sweet. When he defeats demons, that's sweet also. And then always the song has a line which I want you to sing. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Can you see it? It says, everything is sweet about the original Lord of Sweetness.
Adara Madhuram Vadana Madhuram Nayana Madhuram Hasita Madhuram Hridayam Madhuram Gamana Madhuram Madhura Adhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhura Pate Akilam Madhuram Vachana Madhuram Charita Madhuram Vachana Madhuram Valita Madhuram Charita So Radhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Karanam Madhuram Taranam Madhuram Haranam Madhuram Ramanam Madhuram Bhamitam Madhuram Samitam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Gopi Madhura Lila Madhura Yukta Madhuram Bhukta Madhuram Vishtam Madhuram Shnistam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Gopa Madhura Gavo Madhura Yashti Madhura Shisti Madhura Dalita Madhura Palita Madhura Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradhipate Akilam Madhuram Adara Madhura Vadana Madhura Nayana Madhura Hasika Madhura Hridaya Madhura Gamana Madhura Madhuradhipate Akila Madhura Madhuradhipate Akila
Beautiful song, no? This is what came out of that great devotee's mouth when he saw Krishna. He could only say, everything about you is sweet. Your gopas are sweet. Your cows are sweet. Your stick is sweet. He even says, your creation is sweet. That's this place here. everything is sweet. Yes. When one has seen the Lord, everything is sweet. Like for Vasudev, when he was holding baby Krishna in his hands, there was no shackles, no bondage any longer. when we touch Krishna, or when we are in Krishna consciousness, we will see like this auspiciousness from all directions, no inauspiciousness. But Vallabha had a question to the Lord, a question which only the Lord could answer. How will the impure souls ever be able to be joined with you or give up their separation? How is this possible? How can we enter the fire? And the Lord said two things. He said, I will choose those who choose me. In other words, if someone makes a decision, I want to be with Krishna, then Krishna somehow chooses him and says, you are my own. You belong now to me. Krishna accepts such people. It must have been a wonderful darshan if we hear this song where Vallabha is just praising Krishna's garland, Krishna's gopis, Krishna's cows, Krishna's, the way he moves, the way he talks, the everything is madhuram, madhuram. We can see it must be overwhelmingly sweet. Afterwards, when the darshan was over, Vallabha was for a long time in ecstasy, and soon after this, he turned to Damala and said, have you seen him? Damala said, I only saw you. This once happened in Srila Prabhupada's Leela. He was dancing for many kilometers in ecstasy, although his body by material calculations was more than 80 years old. He was really dancing like these devotees from the Harinam Ruchi group. There's one devotee, hopefully he will dance. His name is Harinamananda. If he dances, he flies. He no longer touches the earth. Air Jordan is a plump person in comparison. Then Vallabha composed himself and he said to Damala, the Lord has answered my question. For a long time I have been so concerned how I could bring souls back to him. I was thinking how to do it. Souls emanate from the Lord like sparks come from a fire. They belong to the Lord, but when avidya comes, the ignorance, it just covers the souls and they become so disinterested in Krishna and so much interested in worldly things and theories and so on. But then the Lord told me that if anyone chooses him, the Lord makes a connection. And by this connection, the souls will become pure. And he gave an analogy. He spoke of the many little villages in which are there, which have open canalization. If that impure wastewater comes and flows down to the Ganga and mixes with the Ganga, it becomes Ganga. It becomes pure. So if even an impure soul becomes connected, gets into a sambandha, into a bond with Krishna, then by this connection with Krishna, the impure soul becomes pure, just like the impure water, by the connection with Ganga, becomes Ganga water. And this subject is discussed at length here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when when it is said that at the time of initiation, impure soul which is connected, or a soul which is connected, becomes like Krishna in the sense it becomes spiritualized. So then Vallabha said, therefore, whatever things is used should be connected with Lord Krishna. And Krishna has spoken about this in the Gita. He says, everything you do, everything you eat, everything you drink or you sacrifice, do it as an offering unto me. Let's be very practical. That means even shoes should be offered to Krishna, which you use in his service. When we got our new Radha Sharanagati car, when it came, we worship deities, Radha Krishna deities, Radha Kanhaiya Lal. We immediately remembered this and we brought our deities from the altar into the car and we drove with the car one round. I think he liked it. They liked it very much because we didn't feel we should stop. They were riding in Neuruppin where our little ashram is, they were riding in the car. And because, my dear devotees, this is called in Sanskrit yukta vairagya. You take what is here with you, your body, your mind, and also the things which you use, and you connect them with Krishna. You practice this sambandha, and at that moment, you become pure, and the shackles, means the bondage which binds you, falls off. Like Vasudev, who carried Lord Krishna. The moment he had him in his hand, the iron chains, they fell off him. Then Dhamala said, my dear spiritual master, how... to please talk practically. What does this mean? And then Vallabha gave him an initiation into the Brahma Sambandha mantra. It's a very secret mantra. I cannot tell you the mantra. I can only give it to you in English. Is that all right? I also don't know the Sanskrit mantra. You have to be initiated in. But I know another mantra which you can chant, which does the same. Would you please listen? Let's be practical. Oh Lord, I have been separated from you for thousands of births, and this has created within me endless sufferings and complications. My true blissful spiritual nature has become concealed, hidden. But now I dedicate to you, my sweet Lord Sri Krishna, the beloved of the gopis of Vrindavan. I dedicate my body, my senses, my life force, as well as my consciousness, mind, heart, intelligence, and sense of self. I dedicate to you my home, spouse means wife, if you have children, all my wealth, as well as anything else I have here and beyond. I offer you my very soul. Shri Krishna Sharanam Yaham. Sri Krishna Sharanam Yaham. This is, of course, the prayer which the pujaris pray, and this is from our Pancharatrika Deepika. It says, we have the same prayer. It says, I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have become inimical towards him from time immemorial. Therefore, I have identified myself with this body. And I wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death in the material world. And I've suffered the burning threefold miseries. But now, finished, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, I have met my spiritual master, and out of his mercy on me, he has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, completely apart from my gross and subtle body. There are many prayers like this. Krishna Tomarhana is another one. It is just saying, very practical, that my dear Lord, I have forgotten you since time immemorial, and now I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. This, my dear devotees, softens Krishna's heart, this mood, this intention, this intensity. I want to repeat again something which you might find interesting. Krishna consciousness is not a cultural conversion that we dress in now in a specific way, Bengali dhoti style, or we eat certain spiced food and so on. It's not about gulab jamuns, exotic Asian sweets and so on. It is all about the change of your direction in life. That is to turn away from the false self and to turn towards Krishna. And this was revealed in this very, very moving pastime. This was revealed. Our own Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan meditating about bringing lost souls back to Krishna. And he felt incapable to do this on his own. So one evening, this was told yesterday by our Mrigendra Prabhu, Mahendra, even better, Mahendra Prabhu. He was praying so strongly to Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami appeared to him. He walked out of his own bhajan kutir, which is on the left side, and he came into Prabhupada's vision, and he said to Prabhupada, "Don't worry, I will be next to you. Go to the west. I will always be by your side and help you." So this is the anxiety of Srila Prabhupada and all the great souls before him. How to bring us lost souls to Krishna. And this happens the moment we enter into a conscious thought of Sambandha. In the 11th canto, there's a verse which tells us, Kayena vacha manasendriyerva. Whatever I do with my words, think with my intelligence, work with my body, everything, I now Narayana yeti samapayat tvam. I now offer this to you, O my Lord. Now this is the idea of Krishna consciousness. When you do kirtan, your kirtan is dead as long as you don't sing for Krishna. When you do seva, book distribution, Harinam party, preaching this and that and the other thing, it remains material words, and material activities. It remains even a material world, unless your consciousness reaches out to Krishna and you say, this is what I do for Krishna. Yes. Great souls have said, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, now I have attained this rare human form of life. But I have not really worshipped Krishna. My connection is not there. What kind of world is this? It is like a magic show full of shadows and illusions and rolling stones and Sigi Jung. So much diverse things. Whoa. By my being attached to this world, the days pass in vain. When this body dies, what will remain? No one, including my sons and family members, will be able to give me happiness. And he talks like this. Therefore, I have seen this world is a magic show. I will give up my infatuation, that means my intoxication with illusion, and I will now go after the eternal truth of Krishna Bhakti. My dear devotees, if you can bring this into your Jamashtami, I will now go after Krishna Bhakti. Everything, even the world changes, and everything in it which can be used in Krishna's service becomes spiritual. But without this determination, your Jamashtami will only be a starvation celebration. A starvation celebration means, for those who are not informed, we don't eat today. Yes, imagine. We don't eat. Why not? Because Krishna has not yet appeared. He appeared at 12 o'clock. So we have to wait. We become alive only with Krishna. And then we will eat like anything. But before that, only children and sick people. And pregnant mothers. So, yes. I would like to end this class now by saying something which is strong. Do you know that your material senses can't grasp Krishna? Your material tongue can't chant Krishna? Your material mind can't think of Krishna because of the categorical difference. You know, you are, this is matter, dull, and Krishna is alive, spiritual. Prabhupada gave a lecture in Hamburg, and I was thinking, because I surfed for many years in Hamburg and joined there. Let me find out what Prabhupada said to the Hamburg devotees, and found a lecture given in 1969. That's when Srila Prabhupada visited Hamburg. And he said, by our present senses, we cannot understand what is Krishna or what is God. What is his name? What is his form? What is his quality? He said, we can't understand with our present senses. But Atashi Krishna Namadi, Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. Therefore, as soon as my tongue touches the holy name of Krishna, that means it immediately associates with Krishna. Remember, we looked at this Leela where Vasudev touches his little boy and the chains fell off him. And we said, when you touch Krishna, then you will not be in Maya. Now, what does this mean to touch Krishna? How can you touch Krishna? I mean, should we all run on the altar and touch Krishna or so on? Prabhupada says, as soon as my tongue touches the holy name of Krishna, that means immediately it associates with Krishna. So if you constantly keep yourself associated with Krishna by chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna, then just imagine how you are being easily purified simply by this process, chanting, Chivado, engaging your tongue in chanting. How easy. You touch Krishna with the tongue, Mike. And your tongue wants very palatable dishes to taste. You will find out in the evening of Jamashtami. So Krishna is very kind. He has given you hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes, remnants of foodstuffs eaten by him. You eat in the night, huh? In this way, if you simply make it a determination that I shall not allow my tongue to taste anything which is not offered to Krishna. First thing. Second thing. And I shall engage my tongue always chanting Hare Krishna. Then all perfection will be within your hold, all perfection. I mean, you always think, okay, this is Sachinandan Swami. He always, every lecture ends in chant Hare Krishna, all perfection will end. But my dear devotees, I don't know if you know, but I have become older. I still don't want to see that, but I could see when I came from Cologne, I was a little tired after dancing on the Ratha Yatra. And it's just like this. If you go through your spiritual life and you really think about how can I contact Krishna, how can I touch Krishna, how can I stay in contact with Krishna, what will actually help, then on this path, as it is revealed to by our founder Acharya, it's really all about chanting. That's what he revealed. He didn't give anything else. He once said this very clearly. There was a mad person who had madness in his between his ears, and he said, "But what about my mind?" He called like this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I only have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please take. I only have this. This is where we work. And you will see, as you... It sounds, oh no, what is about my mind? I want to entertain it with good philosophy and psychology and this concept and that. That all has a place, I mean, in our lives. It helps us to find the right direction in our life. It's not valueless, because it can help us to find our direction. But our journey must come to the holy name eventually. And it's not boring. Prabhupada in the same lecture said, Anandam Buddhivadanam. It is stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that chanting increases the ocean of bliss, transcendental bliss. Then he says, the normal ocean does not increase. It will flood everything, tsunami waves. It doesn't help anyone. But this is ocean increases. Some of you must have experienced. He turns to his devotee. Huh? Some of you have experienced. He says it like this. Those who are actually relishing. The authorities like Rupa Goswami's, they say, what shall I chant with one tongue? If I would have millions of tongues, then I could chant a little more. And what I shall hear with two ears, I need millions and trillions of tongues and ears. So that is another stage. When this chanting will be so melodious that we shall try to have more ears and more tongues to utilize it. So he wants to make the point, it's not limited, it is unlimited. It's very spiritual though, and it requires surrender. This path requires surrender. You can't enter the spiritual world on your Honda motorcycle. You have to come on your belly and on your knees. That is necessary. Hare Krishna. I wish all of you a wonderful Jamashtami. A Jamashtami where you actually can feel the connection with Krishna. Maybe you need a few private moments where you go. It's a wonderful forest. Almost a forest. Not like Vrindavan. It's really different forest. But you might like to go somewhere, pray to Krishna on this Jamashtami, have a few peaceful moments where you are alone with Krishna, and think about your relationship with him. Think how you can increase it and deepen it. Get some good ideas how you can satisfy him. We did this in Berlin on Balaram's Jayanti. We purposefully went with a very nice devotee in the town, and we spoke about preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness. That's very nice on Jamashtami. Pray to the Lord to empower you in his service. But make a relationship. Don't run around like a fly without a head. Not in any direction in life. It is important that you make this connection and become an eagle with wings which fly across the material world back to Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Does any one of you have a short question? Short or long question? Hey, Mongshu. Vasudev, while we answer can you please go to the pujaris and find out when the darshan is. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Wow.
I make some announcements.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, Himanshu. Can we give a microphone to Himanshu? How did you like the song Maduram? It had something, isn't it? It touches us. Mm-hmm.
Maduram, Sweetam. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for this amazing lecture. This is much better, you singing. So my question, this is such a vast topic you spoke of, and when you think about this idea of how you can on Sunday discover your identity with Krishna, your relationship with Krishna, it seems so far away. And my question really has to do with our philosophy and how we apply it in our practice. And you sort of hinted at it when you mentioned that while doing your services, one should be meditating on how this is for Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. This is how the philosophy comes into our life. And I had another question in the same regard, this discussion we're having with the devotee once. And we were talking about how our practices in Krishna consciousness, like our chanting and our service and our sadhu sangha, these activities are extremely powerful. And in fact, they have the potency to purify us very, very quickly if we have the conviction. But mostly we were feeling, both as aspiring devotees, that we don't generally practice with that conviction. We don't generally chant that, oh, today Krishna will reveal himself to me. We don't actually have this conviction in our practice because we think, oh, we're so fallen. We have so many anarthas. This will never happen. We will never have a spiritual experience. Or it's so far away. And I wanted to ask you, is it healthy for aspiring devotees to practice with the conviction that my practices can purify me very, very quickly and I can have a spiritual experience? Or should we not have this faith and we should... I'm just wondering what is the healthy way to approach this point.
Here is a psychology, the many gifts which psychology gives us, and here's a very good one. Whatever you focus on, that becomes big in your mind. And whatever you try to suppress, that also becomes big in the mind. It's whatever you give mental energy, either positive or negative, that grows. It's like you can see your reality is like there are millions of possibilities in your reality. You could do many, many millions of choices. Even at this moment, you can choose to be attentive or you can choose to be inattentive, start writing something, plan the day, and so on. You can choose to leave the lecture because you have other things to do, maybe attend your children, and so on. There are innumerable possibilities, and we always only take one possibility. That's what we... what we take is usually in the same genre. That means we think in a box. For instance, when preaching, we do not consider different ways to preach because we only think in a certain and don't use the opportunities which we have. So our life is all about opportunities. And you need to make a conscious choice which one you will do. If you think I'm fallen and I have no hope, if that is your choice, then you will go by that. If you choose I'm fallen but I have hope, then you will go by that. It is really a conscious choice. That is what no one can do for you. This you have to do it, that conscious choice. And that describes That makes all the difference between an ordinary person and a devotee. I think you all have made a conscious choice. I will be Krishna's devotee. And that has changed so much. So much. I thought the other day about it. I'm the way we live is just so extraordinary that the normal people have difficulty. But how do you make money? They always ask me. But how do you make money? Then you explain philosophy. But how do you make money? They can only, who needs money? No. because they are bound in a certain way to live their life. And we have chosen another way. So I have seen in Krishna consciousness there is a very dangerous philosophy that you cannot have a relationship with Krishna. This is not philosophical. Krishna describes us in the Gita as his parts. We belong to him. Mamai vangso jivaloke. Yesterday we read that Krishna wants to sit in our heart. We read this from Prabhupada's purport to the Gundicha Marjana Lila. It is, he wants a relationship. But as you say, no, I can't. No. I'm a German. We don't do these things. Whatever. Then this will be your reality. This will be you. Yes, Krishna will say, good, this is your choice. I choose those who choose me. He's like this. Now, where we are always cautioned, what we should not do is to imagine what is called our sthayi bhava. That means a fixed emotion in relationship to Krishna, like Krishna is my son, or Krishna is my as the prince of Vrindavan, and I'm relating to him as Raktak and Patrak would do, or Krishna is my beloved like the gopis do. That will be revealed in due course of time when we are purified. It's that part of wrongdoing and wrong understanding where we are said, don't imagine anything. But we can't throw out the baby with the bathing water. Bathing water is dirty. It's not wanted. You have your baby in the bathing tub and then you go, and you throw it out. But you don't throw out the baby. We have a very nice baby who talks from morning till evening. His name is Udav. And we need to bathe him. Yesterday I smelled there was a need to bathe him. He was next to me. Oh, Udav! So we have to bathe him. But then, when we bathe out the bathing water, when we throw it out, we don't throw out Udava out of the window. So in the same way, yes, we have to throw out the imaginative, speculative, material concepts of Krishna, you know, where we hear something and we understand it in one way. But we should think, I'm a part of Krishna. Krishna loves me. He says so. I believe him. And then you will see something. I have seen that in Kirtan especially. What can I do? I'm a holy name man. I'm not very good in it, but I believe in it. And I have seen when you chant and you chant for Krishna, it's like a world of difference. And it's so relishable. And you think, well, my time is already over. What happened? Maybe I sang so bad that someone turned the clock forward. You know. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Nimai. No, sorry. I thought you were. Syamananda. No, it's Nisyamananda. Syamchanda, even better. Yes. Can we give Syamchanda the microphone so that the microphone is coming. Bhagavad Dharma is giving.
You spoke also about special attraction, which happens and which hints at your constitutional position. Can you please elaborate a little bit on this? Comes it slowly, maybe how somebody tells the Leela and then you get attracted, or is this at one stage, or it is only internal, or maybe you can elaborate a little bit on this.
Thank you very much, Yamachandra. You are always a wonderful listener. I would like to, you know, I was surprised when I read this. I heard it first from His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, and the Prabhupada wrote about this, and I said, I don't believe it unless you show me the place. And here it is, Adi Leela 4th chapter, text 34. I will read it to you again so that we are clear what Prabhupada says. Special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. It indicates, it points out. Now, Syamchanta, I like somehow very much the Kaliya Daman Leela, where Krishna steps on the hoods of Kaliya Daman, the snake Kaliya. It happens after Kaliya, with his many hoods, had embraced Krishna for 48 minutes, and all the Brijbasis who saw that, they had fainted and they were lying on the bank of the river Jamuna. And Krishna thought, "Oh, Kaliya seems to like me very much, because if you like someone a little, you embrace them for a little time. But if you like someone very much, you embrace him for a long time." So Kaliya embraced me for 48 minutes. He loves me. And, you know, when I hear this, I go like, wow, Krishna. Krishna, and I remember the statement that in Krishna's heart, there is no place for the mistakes of his devotees. Because Kaliya didn't embrace him like that. He wanted to crush him like a boa constrictor. No, I think boa, python, like a python. And break each one of his rib bones and squeeze him. That was his idea. But Krishna has no mind for the mistakes of his devotees, his faults. He thought he loves me very much. And when Balaram called out, "Don't you see? They are all dying because out of fear for you. Do something." And then Krishna jumped out of the embrace and started to dance. And I very much appreciate this. Now, does this mean I'm a Brijbasi? And I relate to Krishna maybe like a friend relates to Krishna, or you know, Syamchanda. This is one of the statements which I will park for later. I don't know. I don't think so. I just don't believe it. Because I heard once a great devotee whom I personally appreciate very much. He has left the body already. He was talking about Krishna. And he was becoming very moved as he talked about Krishna. it's when very moved, and moved to tears. And then he stopped everything and said, okay, I may have had some sentiment for this Gopal, but who am I? My heart is still so impure. I cannot yet know my relationship. So there are few sentences, or not few, there are many sentences which Prabhupada says about very high devotional subjects, which I don't understand at the present moment. I must say, I cannot understand this sentence. And what I do with this, I have a book where I write down all the things, and then I visit them later when I become more advanced in Krishna consciousness. And then I will understand. Now I have this is my engagement with Srila Prabhupada. There have been many things I could not understand. Also things for which Srila Prabhupada was criticized, and I heard the criticism and thought, one can see it like those who criticize Prabhupada. One could see it like this. But then I said, let me write down this part, and maybe I have another insight when I know more in Krishna consciousness, when there's more development. I have seen, yes, Prabhupada speaks from another level, which I couldn't understand at one time. So I would suggest all of you to make a note of these things which you cannot yet understand, or to make a note of difficult places. I don't think it's good to engage in that exercise of using critic against the self-realized soul. That is really not very, very intelligent, I would say, because one has to understand these souls are on a different level. They have different perspectives. But these things, the spiritual things, there are many statements where Prabhupada speaks about the revelations of the holy name. And I have not yet had these revelations, but I have parked them, and I visit them from time to time, because he's my guide, he's my spiritual master, and he teaches me to go further in my Krishna consciousness. This is what I recommend. Yes?
While you were explaining this, I was thinking of what you said yesterday about the two steps of purification. That first purification that Lord Chaitanya manifested when he cleaned the Gundicha temple was to throw out the dirt. Second step of purification was to bring the water and take the subtle impurities. So I think Syama Chandra's question also, after we have become thoroughly purified, a special type of attraction to the pastimes of the Lord will manifest. Mm-hmm. Not just that we think that, well, this is a really good story that like, but one will find himself in that story, and then that will help to identify one's relationship with the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah, that is what it means. You're so purified that it's no longer a fascinating story told in a fascinating way, and you feel something, but no, you actually see this pastime. Yes, thank you, Vaidyanath. It is after Thorov, but that's a huge purification. But yes, but that's true. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Willy. Do I remember correctly? Willy. Yes.
Yeah, Willy. Talking about seeing pastimes, I think related to this is a question I've been carrying around for some time. It is about how can I know that the experience that I'm currently having is a spiritual experience. So what makes it? So what makes an experience a spiritual one? Yeah. Of course, one answer could be you just know it when it happens. But maybe you can elaborate on this, maybe also from your experiences.
What makes an experience a spiritual experience as distinguished from experiencing something spiritual in a material way, maybe? Yeah. An experience is something which comes to us and is perceived by us. And if it is a spiritual experience, it always will have two characteristics. One is a positive one and the other is a negative one. Let's start with the negative one. You lose your attachment to material things by that experience. You think, wow, I don't want this material things any longer. And the second characteristic of a spiritual experience is that it always draws you closer to Krishna. These two symptoms are given. It is they are given, for instance, at the end of certain katas, of certain pastimes which are narrated. It is said when one hears this, then one will develop his attraction to Krishna. The day before yesterday, we heard about the dancing of Lord Chaitanya at Ratha Yatra, and it says when one hears this, then one will become very convinced of bhakti, of devotion to Krishna. So it always has these, and then also the other thing is when one hears this, one loses his attraction to the material, to illusion, to Maya. So these are very sure things. You can go by these things, and I think they are very helpful on our level. If you still are in doubt, was this a spiritual experience or not? One thing I would like to say to the Hare Krishna devotees is don't overthink everything. Hare Krishna, this sentence will bring me in trouble, I know. What I mean with this sentence is Prabhupada seemed to make it very simple. He said, our devotees, when they relish Krishna consciousness, he even in this sentence, in this lecture, you must have experienced this nectar of Krishna consciousness. He said in this Hamburg lecture, some of you must have experienced already the nectar of chanting. So he was not overly thinking about it. When something comes and attracts you to Krishna, it's spiritual, you know. And when something comes and an experience and it is so nice that you feel, wow, in comparison to this, I don't want to enjoy my black library any longer, my black things which I do, the things which are not so good, I want to give that up. It's spiritual. If you're still in doubt, you can ask Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That is always, if you doubt, you can ask these three sources, and they some answer will come from one of these, or two, or three of the sources. Sometimes it's good to see this, because the mind is such a trickster, my dear devotees. I saw that when we traveled with Srila Prabhupada, I forgot which year, very early in Krishna consciousness, to Hyderabad. We were in Mayapur, we wanted to go to Vrindavan, and we made a detour over Hyderabad. We traveled for a whole day on the train and to attend Srila Prabhupada's program. There was a big pandal program with thousands of people. And at the end, I never forget this, and this shows the seriousness of Srila Prabhupada. There was a man raising his voice, raising his arm or something, so the microphone was passed to him. It was really a huge crowd, and he started to describe something which he thought his grandmother had. He said, "I saw that there was a reddish cloud around my grandmother, and then Krishna came in the cloud and drank the milk of her breasts." And he would continue, and this would happen every 2 weeks, and he gave more details. And Prabhupada said, "Are you finished?" No, Swamiji, I'm just explaining. Then he explained more. "Are you finished?" No, Swamiji. And he continued like this. And finally he said, "Yes, I'm finished." And Prabhupada said, he gave his answer. It was a very strong answer. He said, "The Goswamis never said they saw Krishna." We speak of experience, right? They said always, "Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Krishna?" So I want to say this word of caution. The experience comes when you don't want the experience, or when you're not chasing, let me say like this. The experience comes when you're not chasing after the experience, especially in chanting. When will it happen? When will it happen? When will the flesh come? And I will see, like Vallabha saw in the Jamashtami lecture, I heard very carefully, when will this happen? You have this, produce an expectation which is a material emotion, and it, even if Krishna wants to give you a drop, you are blocked with this. I saw this once, I must admit. When I went to Australia, I came in Maya. I always had the desire when I was a child to see a whale. And in the Baltic Sea, langweiliges Ostsee, there are no whales. They're not even dolphins. But as a child, I want to see a whale. So I came to Australia for preaching, and my host said, "What do you want?" I said, "Should I say it or should I not say it?" Then it came out. I heard in Australia there are whales, and I want to see a mega whale. That's my last material desire, but I somehow, as a child, I always wanted. No problem, Maharaj. My father has a boat. So the next day we were in the small little boat, and we drove down a river, and the river went into the ocean, and we went into the ocean where there are always whales. I remember we had to, when we passed the lighting tower, we had to say, "We are going in the ocean, don't forget our number if we don't return," you know. So yes, okay, you can go. It's, "What do you want?" he asked. "Whale watching." Good time, please go. And so we went with the boat, and I was there Then the waves came. It was really big. But I was fixed on the whale. For 1 hour we were driving around, no whale. Then we came back, and we had to, when you come back, you have to tell the person on the lightning tower who watches everything for safety reasons. And now we are back. And he said, "Oh God, you are the whale guys, isn't it?" We didn't see a whale. What? You didn't see a whale? there was the biggest veil I ever saw. It was just behind you. I only looked this way. I forgot to look this way, and that way, and that way. And there was a huge... He was with you for 20 minutes. He must have liked you very much. Hare Krishna. That is the end of my veil watching. I will never do this again. This was so embarrassing. That is when you look for Krishna, you know, like this. You must show yourself when chanting or when doing seva or whatever. You look in the wrong direction. The direction is humility. I'm not worth it, my Lord. So my heart is still what it is, my Lord. Please. You just allow me to do some seva for you. That is the right direction for the bhakta to look in. And then Krishna may give. We always have at the midnight aarti in Goloka Dham. Many devotees who pray during that time or slightly after, they always report, at least many came to me, that things became very clear. Madan Mohan gave them very clear indications. Hare Krishna. I think this is a good time to ask Bhagavad Dhamma to give us an orientation. Shri Krishna Jamashtami ki, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki, Gaura Prema Nandi Ari Ari Bo.